The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. Then he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
So we all possess something that has its little quirks that are known to us that we're used to, but if we were to let somebody else use that thing, for instance, they would be curious as to whether or not it's safe, or whether or not it works, or whether or not, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be. We all have something like that kicking around the house, you know. With the Camaro, for instance, the bearings are worn out in the steering column, so the steering wheel moves up and down. And I remember somebody grabbed on it, and they're like, "This is going to fall off." I'm like, "No, not yet, it won't, it's fine, you know." And I'm used to it. It doesn't really bother me, right? I know what to expect, I know how to operate it. And the same is true with many of the things that we all have, that we are familiar with how they work, right? And somebody who's not familiar with them is not going to understand or not have the confidence or just not know what to do. And so that being familiar with something is of great importance. In the first reading, we hear a very interesting phrase. It says, "At that time, Samuel was not familiar with the Lord." Now, familiar comes from the Latin, familia, familiaris, which means to know of, know about, to be in a relationship with, something of that nature. And it says Samuel did not know the Lord. He was not familiar with how God works. Okay? And so he goes to Eli multiple times. Now, Eli, had he been anyone else, probably would have been like, "You know, shut up and go to bed. You're getting annoying. This is 3 times now that you've woken me up." Okay, and that would be annoying to get woken up 3 times in the middle of the night saying, "Hey, you're calling me." "No, I'm not. You know, go back to sleep." And the thing is, though, Eli is not just some ordinary, average person. He's a high priest. Someone that is supposed to be acquainted with how God works. Someone that is supposed to be familiar with the ways of the Lord. And we see the same thing in the gospel. John points out Christ and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." He's familiar with who Christ is and what he came to do. And thanks to his familiarity with Christ, it says, immediately the two disciples that were following John the Baptist went and followed Christ. Those two disciples were Andrew and most likely John. And then, of course, then they go and get Peter. And why did they do that? Because they had somebody who was familiar with Christ, somebody who was familiar with God, showing them that this is the Messiah, this is the Savior. And they trusted him and they went. The same is true with Samuel. He went to Eli because Eli, he trusted. He trusted Eli. Eli realizes that this is God working. And he explains to him, this is how you answer. This is how you respond to God. And this is the beginning of one of the greatest high priests in the Old Testament. Because what does he eventually end up doing? He's the one who ends up anointing David as king. David is the one from which Joseph would descend and from which the Messiah would come, Christ, from the line of David. He's anointed by Samuel, the high priest. And it all starts because he went to somebody who was familiar with how God works and was able to direct him. This is what you do. This is how you answer. This is how you respond. Now, one of the big problems we face in the world at large is people are no longer familiar with God, even. The idea, the concept of who he is. They're not familiar with how God works, so we look for other things that we can be familiar with and follow, and it turns out to be many various different things. There's many ideologies people clamor after. I mean, you know, communism is still a big thing in many parts of the world, too. Socialism, things like that. Different political ideologies, they'll follow them because, you know, that gives them guidance. Sometimes it's science or science that people would turn to for guidance. Sometimes it's society at large. Sometimes it's the fads and the modes of the day. Because they're not familiar with God, so they don't know where else to go. They'll go to whatever reaches out to them and says, hey, follow me, I'll take you where you want to go. They're not familiar with God, therefore they're not familiar with the idea of an eternity with or without God. And so whose fault is that at the end of the day? That the world is so unfamiliar with God, is so unfriendly even toward the concept of God. Whose fault is that? It's ours. Because we say we're familiar with God, and yet we so often fail to point him out, to show him, to help people understand this is how God speaks, this is how God works, this is how to answer, this is how to respond to God. And so we can't be surprised when people wander off looking for something else that'll give them some kind of point, some kind of goal, that'll make them feel like, you know, they're headed in a concrete direction. Because nobody likes being lost. You stop and think, the last time we went on a trip, right? You went with directions of some sort. Because what happens when the directions turn out to be bad? You panic. You start to become afraid. Now what? Now where do I go? Now where do I turn? What happened? How did I get here? How did I get out of here? How did I get to where I need to go? Panic sets in. And this is what happens when we don't present ourselves as good signposts, good directions to find God. They'll panic and they'll turn to something else, which will never satisfy them, but it'll totally leave them hanging in the end, as we say. But it's something that gives them an answer now. This is where you go now. And so, you know, us being followers of Christ, as we say we are, we're called to know him. And how can I know him if I don't spend time with him? First and foremost, sacraments. That's a given. Prayer, adoration, time spent before the Blessed Sacrament. If I want to become familiar with him, I have to spend time with him. In order to become familiar with him, I have to be with him. I have to know him. In order to show others how to find him, I have to be familiar with him. So it all flows downhill from there. That we bear a great responsibility for what happens in the world. You know, it seems like every year for the last 15 years now, they've been coming up with new programs. The new evangelization is the catchphrase now. New evangelization. New programs, new ideas, new this, new that. When all God really asks of us is that we know who he is and be able to point him out to other people. John the Baptist didn't go into a great theological discourse. This is Christ, the one who was foretold by the prophets, who was anointed by the Holy Spirit and all these other things. He didn't go into this great theological detail. He said, there's the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. There's the one. And that was enough for the apostles. They went. They found the direction to go in. Somebody showed them, there's where you want to head. There's the one who has the answers. There's the one who has the goal. Go to him. And so we're called to be signposts, I guess you'd say, of how to find God in the midst of all the psychotic and crazy things that happen in our world. That we're called to be signposts to show people where they can find God. And granted, we're not perfect either. Sometimes our sign falls off the post too and get a little lost, right? But thanks be to God, we have the sacrament of confession. We can go back, things get put back in order, we become a visible sign again, and people can look to us for direction, for answers, to follow, to find, to know how to listen, to know how to respond to what God is saying to us. And so this requires a great love for God, of course, first and foremost, but a knowledge of God. I can't point him out if I don't know where he is. I can't tell people to follow him if I don't know where he's going. It requires a desire to get to heaven, too. That I'm not going to place all my eggs in this basket here. And I know that there's something greater that God offers that we can find if we but look. And so, you know, are we pointing in that direction? Are we good advertisements for Jesus? Are we good advertisements for heaven? We live in a world that basically tells people they're nothing more than a clump of cells that somehow got here. That there's nothing really special about them. They're really accidents of nature. That it doesn't matter if they're alive or not. It doesn't matter unless you're somebody that they want. And so we live in a world that is telling people this, which is why they wander so fast in different directions. And we're there out there to tell people that, no, you do matter. That God didn't make you just a clump of cells to kick around here on the earth. He made you as a person, as an individual with a purpose, with a goal in mind, and that he loves you and will sacrifice for you and gave his own life for you. That he wants you to find him. That he wants you. God wants you. And God will not abandon you. God doesn't change with the modes and the fads. But we have to be that constant and consistent sign to others of where to find him. And we do that through very simple ways, actually. How I speak, how I act, the choices that I make, Those are the things that are telling people, either I know where to find God or I have no idea where he is. And they're things that we can all do. It doesn't require any special program. It doesn't require any new ideas. It just requires a desire to imitate Christ. And so, you know, what happens tomorrow in the world, what happens 10 years from now, what happens 20 years from now, depends on what we do now. It depends on how visible is God going to be through me now in this world that is so in such desperate need of him, that we can bring about a huge change in things. But I have to want to be that advertisement for Christ. And I have to be a believable advertisement. We've all seen those advertisements on TV that are just totally like unbelievable, like the made-for-TV products, for instance, you know, where they, oh my gosh, it works so great, everything's wonderful. And we're like, that's not realistic. They're not realistic. We don't believe all the advertisements we see because they don't add up to us. And so is somebody going to believe my advertisement for God, for heaven, if my life doesn't give true witness to that? If my choices are not saying that? If my words are telling something completely different? Am I going to be a believable representation of God here, you know? And so let us ask ourselves, you know, are we spending the necessary time with God in order to become more familiar with him? And as am I able and willing, and do I care enough to point him out to other people? Am I familiar with God or not?